You are now listening to episode 13 of the Big Bang Buzzcast. I'm Roxanne.
And I'm Nicole.
And this episode is basically all about the season finale, which aired last night as of when we are recording this. We don't have a lot of news to talk about first because most of the news articles are basically like hyping up the season finale. But the cast is on the cover of the TV Guide this week, which hit newsstands on Thursday, yesterday the 16th. And it says, Big Bang Theory, it says, what's the smash sitcom secret formula? And then up on the top corner it also says, 60 greatest comedies of all time, who's number one? Turn to page 22 to find out. I don't actually have the TV Guide yet. I haven't been able to. Well, I looked for it Thursday morning, but I couldn't find it, so I haven't been able to look at it. I'm wondering if like they list Big Bang Theory as number one because they are on the cover, or if it's just happened to be like they're doing all these different comedy things at once.
Well, all I know is the credibility of that list I can't take all too seriously because according to tweets, Friends doesn't even make the top 10.
Really?
Yeah, so I don't know where Big Bang Theory falls either, but no matter where it falls, whether it's first or whether it's not even on there, I can't really take that list seriously if Friends isn't top 10.
See, like, I feel like I might have to put Friends at number one just because it's
Friends. Yeah, I mean, I probably would too, but I'm sure people can argue for other ones, but I don't think you can argue that there are 10 sitcoms that were better than Friends.
Yeah, so that's out on newsstands, so keep an eye out for it if you're in the US, I guess. And then like I said, most of the news articles and stuff this week were about the finale. There was one that was really interesting though. It was from The Hollywood Reporter. And it's about, like, they were on set during the finale, but it's pretty cool because the article is basically, like, a timeline from the taping night. Like, it has, like, the timestamps for, like, what time it was when they taped different scenes throughout the episode, and it has some other little notes and, like, behind-the-scenes details and stuff about what went on that night. So we'll be sure to have a link to this up in the our little episode notes, but I thought that was just really interesting to read through, and it really made me miss, like, being at the tapings. And then we have ratings news for the finale. Big Bang Theory got a 4.4 in the rating with 14.78 million viewers, which was, I think the article said it was down slightly from last week. It had a 4.9 last week, but it was pretty much even with how the finale did last year, and it still beat American Idol, so yay Big Bang Theory.
That's not really much of an accomplishment anymore, but we'll take it.
Yeah, well, like, Idol was still the second show of the night, it looks like.
Yeah.
But Idol, just for comparison, they had a 3.6 overall compared to Big Bang Theory's 4.4, but during the half hour that Big Bang Theory was on for the first half of Idol, Idol only got a 2.8. So, just that definitely shows how much of their audience, like, Big Bang Theory takes.
Yeah.
And that's it for news, so we're pretty much free to talk about the finale now for the rest of our podcast here. Where do you want to start?
I was actually going to ask you that, but then you never took a breath, so I couldn't.
Sorry. Okay, so one thing that stood out to me in that first scene was Leonard asking about when they'll ever meet Lucy, just because that was something that we'd been talking about here on the podcast, about how she really hasn't met any of the gang yet, and it had been a while. So it was nice to see that finally, like, brought up, and then that was really actually, like, one of the big focuses of the episode.
Yeah, it would have been kind of weird at that point if people didn't start wondering, you know, like, if the guys hadn't start wondering why they didn't know her.
Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder how long it's actually been within, like, the show's universe since he started seeing her.
Well, we know for a fact that they met on actual Valentine's Day because that was a Valentine's Day episode. But I don't remember hearing anything after that, like, giving time periods, like, where they would reference something. So I don't know exactly how much time has passed from that. But considering the amount of time that passes in season finales that when they state time is passing, like, after season 2, after season 3, and then after this previous season, I feel like they typically try to stick to real time as much as possible. So my guess is 3-ish months.
Yeah. And I was...
Go ahead. I was just saying I would err on the side of a little less than a little more, but I think it's about 3.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking, like, even within this episode itself, like, when Leonard was first telling Penny about the job opportunity, and then he was saying, like, he would leave within, like, a few weeks, in the next few weeks, yeah. I think he said, something like that. And then, like, at the end of the episode, we see him leaving. So this episode itself, they, like, they skip a couple, at least 2 or 3 weeks somewhere in there. So thinking about time jumps like that, it probably does even out to about 3 months.
Yeah. Which I feel like I had a little bit of trouble making the Lucy and Raj storyline fit because that felt like it took place over like a couple of days or a week at the most.
Mm-hmm.
But it must have been stretched out a little more than that. But normally I don't really have a problem with the storylines matching up when time passes within an episode. But this one I had to stop and think first for a while, like where it could have jumped. Because, you know, you can't very well jump from, you know, her breaking up with him to him crying on the couch 2 weeks later. So it must have been between their first conversation and when they started talking about having someone meet her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
Go ahead.
I was just thinking, when Raj first asks her about the party, does he say, like, they're having it, like, next week?
I think he said this Friday or something, but, like, it could have been a Monday or a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So but we don't know. It could have been a week away at that point.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, it's at least, like, coming up soon and not in, like, in a few weeks when he leaves. So before that, at least.
Yeah. Now, what did you think just on the thing about them having a discussion on who should meet Lucy first? What did you think of them picking Amy? Like, do you think she was the right one to pick, or would you have gone with someone else?
Well, just kind of one thing that stood out to me with that was how Amy said, I was the outsider to this group. Like, my first thought was, like, well, Bernadette was the outsider when she joined. And then, like, if you want to go back even further, like, Penny was the outsider at one point. Like, I kind of wish they'd just said, like, I was, like, the most recent outsider, or I don't know how, that's kind of awkward, but, like, acknowledge somehow that she was just, like, the most recent one that joined, because, you know, like, Bernadette and Penny, they were, like, different circumstances when they joined, or, like, the group wasn't as large when Penny joined as now if, like, Lucy's coming in, but still, like, they adjusted and stuff to it, so that just kind of bugged me a little bit or something, but I did, like, just the scene as a whole and the conversation, like, going back and forth about, like, who's the right one and, like, everybody getting offended. And I did like that as a whole and all of the different interactions there.
Yeah, I loved Bernadette's, I'm not pretty enough to scare your girlfriend. And Howard's like, oh, you're plenty scary, don't worry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually would have, like, when Raj said he picked Leonard, that didn't really surprise me. Just because Leonard... You know, like, the whole, like, they say that, like, Johnny plays, like, the straight man. So, like, Leonard's, like, always been, like, the most, like, quote, normal of the group. Like, he's the one who's always wanted to be, like, okay, I'm not just a nerd. Like, I'm more than that. So it felt like he'd be the one that would be least likely to say something that would upset Lucy. Just because, you know, in previous episodes, like, he's told Mrs. Cooper what's not politically correct. And he's constantly having reactions to Sheldon and Amy and Howard saying inappropriate things.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably would have given some thought to Leonard for that reason. Like, I really liked Amy's logic, but at the same time, I was terrified she was going to say something, like, inappropriate. So, and I feel like Bernadette could get a little intense, but I also think she would have been a good choice. So I don't think Amy was a bad choice, and I liked her reasoning for it, but my main concern with Amy was that she was going to say something, you know, that wasn't appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did, like, really like Leonard as the idea also, because at first, like, when Raj said Leonard, I was, like, a little surprised, kind of, that he picked him, just because, like, I guess because, you know, Howard is his best friend, or Howard was upset. But at the same time, it's like Leonard does seem like he would be a good one in that situation to, like, be calm throughout it. Though, on one hand, I could also see him, like, if he got really nervous, just start to ramble.
Crying about him and his mother.
Yeah, I guess so. But I feel like he would have been the least likely out of all of them to end up doing something that would make her really uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I feel like Penny for that, like if you would have chosen Penny, I feel like she's, like, almost the biggest wild card. Because sometimes when she needs to be, she can be, like, really sweet and understanding, but then other times she can just go off on these rants that are, like, really either offensive or intimidating, and she doesn't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
So when Penny was getting all, like, he was like, oh, how about a girl? And he's like, oh, Bernadette. And she's like, what the hell? Instantly. Like, I started thinking, like, okay, would she have been a good choice or not? And I feel like it would depend on what kind of day Penny was having. Because if she was having a bad day, she might just make everything really personal.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I wasn't really, like, when he picked Amy, by the time Amy gave her logic, I wasn't like, oh, recipe for disaster. But just because of her ability to make anything inappropriate, I don't think she would have been my first choice. But I thought she was a good choice. And like Lucy said, like, it wasn't Amy that made her nervous and upset, so... That yeah. worked out well. And I really did like that they used that, you know, having Amy and her reasoning to, like, promote the whole they're a family deal. Because, you know, some people will say, like, oh, these shows, like, these characters just exist within their relationships. And several times this episode with Raj saying that the gang was his family and Amy saying that, you know, it really shows that they all really care about each other, like, within the group. And even though they're all sort of dating each other, like, it's just a case of, you know, when you're friends and you date people, the people you're dating become your friends' friends. So it was just a natural progression, but that they all do like each other for each other. So I did like that.
Yeah. And I remember when we were talking, like, speculating on the finale before, I was wondering how much of all of them together we would really see, since it seemed like Raj would be off with Lucy on whatever.
Yeah, more than I thought.
Yeah, so we did end up getting to see quite a bit of all of them together, so that really made me happy.
Yeah, I do like, you know, I know a lot of people were upset with this finale because they said it didn't feel like a finale because there wasn't, like, a big cliffhanger and there wasn't a lot of huge drama, but one thing that I like about Big Bang Theory is that it doesn't do that. Like, I expect cliffhangers like, oh, someone's gonna die or is someone gonna do this or whatever on dramas, but... With the exception of Friends, I haven't really been fond of major, like, black and white, what's gonna happen next cliffhangers on sitcoms. So I do kinda like when they, like, the past two finales have had more heart in them, and I like that, and I think that it's kind of nice for people who don't just watch it for the laugh, but who watch it for the characters, because it really shows how close they all are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be nice if they just keep continue having all their cliffhangers be just, like, big group feel-good type, like how they've done the past couple now. Just because it's a nice difference from the cliffhangers where you have to, like, oh, now I have to wait how many months and leave you all on edge.
Yeah, and there's always, like, a big question that there's going to be one of two answers to, and like, no matter what, you're going to feel really strongly about one of them. And Big Bang Theory hasn't, I suppose they've done that in season 2, like, is what's Penny going to do when Leonard comes back, or in season 4, like, what's going to happen with Penny and Raj, but for the most part, they haven't really been like that, and I wouldn't even consider season 2 and season 4 to be, like, extreme cliffhangers. It's always just been like, oh, it's a curious what's going to happen next, not a, if this happens, I'm going to, like, you know, jump out the window. So, I know that some people just expect it to be, like, this mind-blowing, shocking thing, but... Finale episodes feeling like finales when it comes to Big Bang Theory, it's easier for them to feel like finales for me than like a drama. Mm-hmm. Just because I don't expect a cliffhanger, like a really big one, and I'm not really fond of them, again, in sitcoms aside from Friends. Like, the only comedies that I'm following really right now are How I Met Your Mother and Two Broke Girls. And Two Broke Girls hasn't done cliffhangers, like, in the shocking sense so far in their two finales. And How I Met Your Mother, they normally do reveals in the finales instead of cliffhangers, like revealing who's getting married or revealing a character's pregnant or something like that. And typically I haven't stuck with just sitcoms that some of them I don't even remember their names that do like shocking cliffhanger finales because that's just not really my thing in sitcoms too much.
Yeah, like there were a few things about last night's episode that I kind of wish had been done slightly differently, but none of my complaints were like it didn't feel like a finale. It was just in general episode terms, things they could have done slightly differently.
You want to talk about what those were?
Well, one of them, it kind of goes back, or I don't know, but with Sheldon like not wanting Leonard to leave, I would have liked to have seen like a little bit more of
vulnerability.
Huh?
Like vulnerability from him?
Yeah. Cause I know we were talking about how like what it would mean for Sheldon, like with Leonard being gone, since Leonard's the one who does like, you know, drives him everywhere and does all these different things. And we kind of got like a little touch of that. Like Leonard said to him, like, you don't want me going because you're afraid to be alone. And Sheldon, like, kind of mentioned, or he said, like, Leonard caters to his every whim, kind of, like, referencing how Leonard does so much for him. But a lot of it really did come off as just, like, him being, like, selfish or jealous. And I would have liked to see, like, vulnerability is basically spot on. Just more of that, like, because we have gotten to see some really, like, nice little emotional moments between them in the past. And I always really, really love those. So I really wish we could have gotten something a little bit more like that in the finale.
That was probably my only real complaint about the episode. Like, I know previously they've done, like, in the decoupling fluctuation where Sheldon was putting it off as, you know, Penny, you can't dump Leonard because that would be inconvenient for me. I like homeostasis, blah, blah, blah. And then when it really got down to it, it was he didn't want Leonard to be hurt. And I really wish that, you know, with Sheldon playing up, like, oh, this is, like, he's not gonna do things for me, like, or, why does he get this opportunity in a jealousy thing? Like, I wish that at the end we would have gotten something like the please don't hurt my friend line, where it would have implied that Sheldon was gonna miss him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cause, like, even then when Sheldon, when he gave the little, like, if you want to call it a speech or whatever, like, at the party, like, it seemed, like, genuine there, but then he follows it up with, that's how you get the whatever commercial it was.
Toothpaste commercial.
Yeah. So it's like, it seemed like it, but then it just pulls right back to a joke, which of course that's just part of the format of the show as a comedy.
Yeah.
But I would have liked, because we have seen those moments before, if they would have had gone a little bit deeper in last night's episode.
Yeah, I really love the Leonard and Sheldon relationship, and I felt like it was used more for laughs than for heart. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of heart in the episode, like with Leonard and Penny and with Raj and Penny, but I do wish there had been more Leonard and Sheldon. But really, honestly, that was my only real complaint. I mean, I'm sure there were lines that I would have been like, oh, they probably should have worded that differently, but nothing really bothered me except for the Leonard and Sheldon part.
Mm-hmm.
And that's even more of a, in retrospect, just because there were certain things in this episode that I was waiting for, and I wasn't paying too much attention to scenes that were more not completely central to the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't make sense, but, you know, not, like, big scenes where I, like, expected, like, stuff to happen, like the Penny Raj scene.
Yeah, that was basically my biggest issue. Others, I don't know if it's... Or I guess this kind of goes back to how we were talking about, like, the timeline and how long things had actually been going on. Just on, like, how upset Raj was at the end. At first I was thinking, like, he's really, like, that upset. But then you think about how upset he's gotten about other things that were, like, way shorter. And then I guess it's really it's basically in character. I don't know. I would have liked to... I really, really liked how Raj can finally, like, speak to Penny and, I guess, women in general based on Bernadette and Amy. But I wanted to see some sort of more of a connection between, I guess, the breakup and then how he can suddenly do this now, or, like, I'd like to see, maybe they'll go into, I don't know if they'll go into that. But just because, you know, like, we've seen him upset about breakups before, and, like, he's had his heart broken, as he says before, and I don't know, it just seemed kind of random that it, suddenly he can now talk, or... Am I making sense?
No, you're making sense. I know that in his little ramble at the end of the episode, at the very end, before he, but right before, like, his monologue ended, he said something like, having my heart broken like this has made me able to talk to you. So I guess maybe he's crediting it to, like, he's been hurt before, but not like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, him and Penny, like, they do have a, I think, a kind of special in a different way type connection. You know, she's comforted him before. And, you know, he was really upset. And, you know, she's always been kind of like, when he's really upset, like, Howard's come to him a couple times. But, like, he went to Penny after, you know, Emily broke up with him. And, you know, when Raj has comforted him, Raj has gone to him. So it's kind of like he goes to Penny. And I'm not exactly sure why he does that. Maybe because, you know, she's can be comforting without being, you know, Howard can get kind of more condescending than Penny in that specific topic. Or because, you know, she's the one that knows most about relationship stuff. But I feel like, you know, he was upset and Penny showed up and he just didn't realize that he hadn't been drinking. And this time when he realized he was talking to her, like, maybe he just realized, you know, okay, they were, you know, it wasn't a case of him walking in and, like, realizing she was there or suddenly realizing, like, he wasn't drunk. Like, at this point, he did suddenly realize he wasn't drunk, but he'd been talking to her longer and they were having, like, a conversation that wasn't, because selective mutism is based off of social anxiety, and they were having, like, kind of an intimate conversation, but she had said she missed Leonard, too, so there must have been, like, empathy there, and he just realized, like I had said earlier, I think this was a month ago probably, how at this point I felt like his selective mutism was just a psychological thing and he just had to do it again to realize that he could. So since they'd had a conversation, it was just a normal conversation, and Penny's not somebody that, you know, he'd be anxious to talk around because he'd think he would ruin, you know, his shot with her because that was shot down in the season 5 premiere. So it was just like, okay, this is someone he's really comfortable with. He realized he'd been talking to her, and it was a combination of probably he's right about getting his heart broken, but it was also just he knows her, and it was finally long enough time period that he knew her, and they'd shared, like, you know, him being sad, and now she was sad with him before, so it was just a case of, oh, hey, this is something I can keep on doing. And I didn't prepare an answer to this beforehand, so that probably sounded repetitive and rambly, but...
It's okay, it did because kinda. I was repetitive and rambly leading up to it, so.
Okay, well, it just worked with me. I had heard very vague things about that scene, and I honestly couldn't tell you if the people that were speculating were spoiled or not, because they were things that could be very safely assumed off of the promo pictures and then the promo. But I was kind of, from what I was gathering from it, I was just like, I don't know how this is going to work, but just because I really like the Raj and Penny dynamic, and they've shared some, like, really oddly emotional scenes together, most notably probably because I watched it today when the deaf girl broke up with him, but it just seems that, like, you know, I've always thought it would be fitting if he talked to her versus just because he was more comfortable with her. And I think it was just a matter of time. Like I'd said that we talked about earlier, it's just a psychological thing at this point. Like, he can do it. He just thinks he can't. So it wouldn't have been something that would have worked in season 1, but it's 5 years later. You have 5 years more of history. So I don't know that under those circumstances he would have talked to anybody, but Penny's familiar to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he realized he could talk to her, it was just, okay, that was him getting over the hurdle. Like, he did it once, he can do it again. It's a confidence thing. And, you know, the next people he talks to are Amy and Bernadette, who he is friends with. It's not like he immediately goes out into a bar and starts hitting on people. But I don't know how that's going to be next year. I kind of hope they do take, like, a baby step or have a brief transition period. Like, maybe he's still a little shy about talking to people, and he's not, you know, obnoxious like he is when he's drunk, but he's still kind of timid even if he can talk to them. But I don't think it would be unrealistic if he all of a sudden could just talk to them now because of my previous hypothesis that it was just once you do it, you can do it again.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be interesting because I'd also kind of like to see some sort of transition period. But with Leonard being gone and assuming that they're going to, like, basically jump over the months while he's gone so the next season will pick up when he gets back, that would be like 3-4 months later. So I feel like he would have be mostly out of whatever transitional period unless it's a really long transition, which I guess it could be based on how long he dealt with this selective mutism thing. But I feel like what would be the most interesting is, like, what happens right after. Okay, he can speak to women. Now what? And not jumping down, like, months later on to see, like, how he's doing then, you know?
Yeah, I agree. But that's also kind of like a built-in excuse for the writers. Like, they can say, well, it's not sudden, you just didn't see it. Just like Howard and Bernadette, you know, they had a wedding reception, we just didn't see it. But, you know, that way they can, that way they can't really be trapped in the, well, how did this happen? It was sudden, like, what happened after that? Like, he has his watershed moment, where do you go from there? And instead of having to find time to write that, they're able to just jump into whatever's next. Which I do find it, I wonder what they're gonna do for Raj now. Because, you know, he seems, you know, he's gonna be more confident. He's going to, you know, obviously he's thinking through what went wrong in his previous relationships, and he's taking the blame where he needs to take the blame, and, he, you know, he was making all those plans with how he was going to better himself and how he feels like a new person. So I wonder what his thing is going to be for the remainder of the show, because he was always the mute guy, he didn't have self-confidence. So I wonder how that's going to change now. Like, when people describe Raj in later seasons, he's going to be the guy who what?
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder what his new, like, defining trait is going to be. Which I suppose I wouldn't know how to describe Howard as much anymore in the earlier seasons. But since Howard is in a relationship, you can still talk about him in regards to Bernadette, where if Raj is alone, I don't know how they're going to describe him, or if he's going to become a little more bland, maybe. But I have confidence in the writers that he won't. I just can't think of anything right now.
I was kind of wondering about Raj, but not so much, like, long-term, but just, like, immediate what now. Because, like, when Lucy broke up with him, I kind of figured, like, okay, well, that's it for her character. But then at the very end, he was talking about trying to get her back again. So then suddenly I was surprised, and I was like, oh, well, wait, like, maybe they will be bringing her back. And then I was wondering, like, do I really want to see her again? Or has she kind of, like, played her role now, you know?
Yeah, I would like to see her again just because of how much I can relate to her, but, and I also feel like we got enough backstory on her, and because I can empathize with her, I feel kind of bad that, like, we're never gonna get to see her become more confident. And then I just tell myself, you know, she was in, like, 5 episodes, I need to get over it. But I don't know, I mean, maybe they're just opening a door in case Kate's pilot doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
Because we did get Bernadette back, and I don't want Lucy back in that capacity, but I feel like they're leaving the door open, at least for some sort of closure thing. I'm not necessarily saying, you know, if her pilot fails, you know, Lucy and Raj are getting married, but I read on a forum that Kate was in a pilot that got picked up or something, so they, which was similar to why they suddenly wrote Melissa out.
Mm-hmm.
So, we may get Lucy back in some capacity at some point.
Okay, so since we talked about Leonard and Sheldon reacting, should we talk now some about Leonard and Penny?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first of all, I loved how when Sheldon was trying to think of, like, things to tell Leonard to get him to not go, and then he brings up Penny and, like, I hope 4 months apart doesn't change everything. And then I should have opened with that, huh?
Yeah. I also liked how... I like how Sheldon knew that the girlfriend card was going to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of wondering, like, how that would think about, you know, with Amy because of, you know, how they've been in pretty much constant contact since they met. So I wonder if maybe he was thinking, like, oh, if I left, what would my issues be beyond the sharks and the drowning? And I wonder if he thought, oh, me and Amy's relationship, and then he thought to tie that to Leonard and Penny's relationship, or if he just knew that Penny was a priority in Leonard's life, so he wanted to use that. But I'd like to think that Amy had something to do with it, considering that the Shamey, like, didn't speak to each other in this entire episode.
Mm-hmm.
And Tara was a writer.
She was a writer for this one?
Yeah, I heard that because I heard... Yeah, because I heard that some people were, you know, surprised that there wasn't Shamey in it because Tara was a writer.
Interesting. And have we mentioned Tara on the podcast before for people who might not know who she is?
I think we can mention it again, but I think we have.
Yeah.
Tara's basically been present in most of the big Shamey episodes. Like, I want to say Isolation Permutation and... possibly Sharni Trinket or Maneuver, and I want to say Agreement a section, but I don't just want to list off all the main Shamey episodes and assume that Tara is involved, so I'm going to try to pull up the episode list, but my computer is very slow right now. But yeah, whenever we see Tara, like, on a script, we're like, oh, like, is there going to be, like, a big
Shamey stuff?
Okay, yeah, Tara was the Isolation Permutation... she actually wasn't involved in Flaming Spittoon, which surprises me. She was Shiny Trinket. She was the Vacation Solution. Let's see what else. The Weekend Vortex, so that was Sheldon and Amy as well. That was it for season 5, but you know, all of those had Shamey storylines. I just pulled up season 5 at random, because that was a pretty good chunk of them, but... Yeah, so whenever we see Tara, I think this is the first time that there was a Tara episode that Shamey, like, didn't have a storyline in, or at least have, like, a good chunk of scenes, even if they were just, like, plot points within the storyline.
Yeah, it's definitely, I hadn't looked at very closely who the writers were for the finale, so that is definitely surprising that she was involved and Shamey, like you said, didn't really even speak to each other.
Yeah, they had, like, one glance when, you know, Sheldon broke up, or when Lucy broke up with Raj. But yeah, it was Steve Molaro, Steve Holland, and Tara, or Tara, for this one. So, and then other Tara episodes in season 6, let me find them. She was Teleplay for the Valentine's Day episode. She was... The Fish Guts Displacement, she was a writer. Yeah, and then she wasn't involved in the Date Night Variable. That's probably the big Shamey episode, Shamey storyline that she wasn't involved in that I can think of. But yeah, so I was surprised. We were talking about Penny. How did we transition to Shamey?
Because Sheldon playing the girlfriend card.
So I did like how when Leonard told Penny, like, her first reaction was just like, okay, I'll visit you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a good combination. It was a good line, I felt, for their relationship, because it was both, well, of course you're gonna go, and I don't expect to go 4 months without seeing you. So I really liked that as a first reaction for her, and I liked how she didn't freak out, but you could tell that she wasn't happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just looking at the story and how she was supporting him and, like, how Steve had said that she'll support him, I was just like, okay, I kind of disagree with the press release that says she was thrown for a loop, but I feel like that's a pretty good way to describe the scene where she finds out he's leaving. because she did seem kind of thrown off by it, even though she didn't have, you know, some sort of juvenile reaction.
Yeah, she wasn't as, like, even though I wasn't expecting her to be, like, hugely, like, against it or, like, have a big issue with it, she still wasn't even, like, she dealt with it, like, a lot better than even I was, like, expecting that she would.
Like, exactly, though, and, yeah, I thought that was just really good, just because it showed, like, okay, she's supportive of him. And at the earlier, you know, in the tenure episode, she said, I'm here to support my man. And she still is doing that, even in a larger scale.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, like, one, I just loved that scene between them in general. There were a lot of really great lines in it, like, Hawking roll overboard.
Yeah.
And her line about killing spiders in his bathtub. But then, so I was thinking, like, I'd love the scene, like, that specific scene. And then I was thinking how I just love how, like, this past year, we've gotten so many scenes of them just, like, you know, eating dinner and having, like, conversations like that. You know, just, like, casual eating dinner together and, like, they're just, you know, that's their day-to-day life, practically. But then I just now was thinking about, like, how that compares back to season 3 when they were together. And, like, any time in season 3 just about when they would have more, like, serious conversations or, like, discussions that would come up, it would be, like, when they were in bed. Which I wasn't really, like, against at the time, but we just, and we have mentioned how we saw, like, a lot more of them in bed than we, and their first relationship than we have this time around. But I was just now kind of, like, making the connection between, like, these conversations, like, the setting that they put them in, you know, when they come up. Before it was, like, they're in bed together, and now it's, like, they're just sitting having dinner together and talking about things like that.
Yeah, it's a lot more grown up. They're giving, like, I don't want to say, like, a married couple vibe, because whenever you say it's a married couple vibe, we're normally talking about bickering. But they're acting more, you know, domestic, more, like, mature in their relationship. And they, you know, having conversations at the dinner table in one of their apartments, not even on a date, gives much more of an outward, long-term vibe than having a conversation in bed. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not a, hey, we just had sex and I Googled something awesome conversation. Like, even if it was a mature conversation, just the location, it just kind of gives a different ambiance.
Yeah, definitely. And then jumping, I guess, a little bit later in the episode with them, I really liked how when Bernadette, like, brought up marriage, how Leonard just kind of looked at Penny.
But then, yeah, I loved that.
But then Penny's just like, Bernadette, sweetie, shut up. Like, they've gotten and to then, this point now, how, like, they've, marriage has come up a couple of times, they've talked about it, and now it's kind of, they're able to, like, joke about it in that way a little bit, or, like, it can come up, and it's not this huge, like, serious thing, it's just like, okay, we can just move on.
Yeah, exactly, and I, you know, and I love that line, but not only did I love how Leonard glanced at Penny, like, Penny didn't just stare at Bernadette or look terrified, like, she looked back at Leonard, like, I know what you're thinking, and no. So I did kind of like that. And I know, my dad was at a work function when the episode aired, and then I watched it again with him later that night, and we got to that line, my dad's like, and he just looks right at her, doesn't he? And I'm like, balls in her court, Dad. And he's like, I know.
And I loved
so,
how,
so yeah, I really liked that.
Yeah, and how the audience, like, oohed in reaction to that. Like, yeah, they always seem to do with the Leonard and Penny scenes.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So hopefully that will happen next year. That's a wish list item for me. In the spring, not in the fall, in the spring. I have very specific time frames on when I want them to get engaged. Should be in the spring, definitely.
Does that basically leave in their last scene at the airport?
Which was perfect. I'm just not gonna fangirl too much, but it was perfect.
Too much. Yeah, I really loved, like, right when she asked if he had enough inhalers, I think I let out, like, a little awe there, just because, yeah. It kind of reminded me of, the 100th episode in Leonard's, like, daydream or whatever, how, like, she had, you know, still his inhaler that was in her drawer, so this just kind of, like, connects it, like, this is real life, and she's, like, asking, like, oh, do you have your inhalers? Just connecting the two.
Yep. And I love the idea that they all went to Disneyland together.
Yes.
Because we know that Bernadette was there, because she was the first one to bring up his small world problem. And then, yeah, I liked how Penny brought it up again. And I actually, like, going to Sheldon in that scene, you know, I had said that I felt like Sheldon took away from the Howard's letter scene earlier, but I didn't feel like his comments took away from Leonard and Penny here. Like, I felt like it was pretty nicely spaced out.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least it was, it bothered me a lot less than when they were giving Howard's letter. Like, Leonard and Penny still got to say everything that they needed to say, and they kissed and they hugged, and it was good, and I don't feel like Sheldon detracted from that, as much as it bothered me in the letter scene from the earlier episode.
I was actually surprised, with the finale, like, when we got to that scene, that Sheldon was in the car with them. Because I'd seen, I guess I saw some screen caps of Leonard and Penny in the car. And I don't know if
you didn't watch the promo, did you?
No, I didn't. I didn't watch the promo. I didn't watch the, like, well, was it only in the promo or was it in, like, a scene that was released? Because
no,
I know one of the scenes
the
was the grocery. Okay. Yeah, so, like,
the only
I didn't.
Thing,
the grocery
saying the
store?
The only thing. What'd you say?
I was saying the scene that they released was Penny and Sheldon in the grocery store, right?
Yeah, that was a sneak peek.
Yeah.
That was a sneak peek, but the only part of the car scene in the promo was the I'm gonna misuse and then Sheldon smuggling drugs line.
Okay.
And the kiss, obviously. But, like, we saw the I'm gonna miss you and then they went to something else and then it showed like her go to kiss him, and then we had Sheldon's drugs line, and that was the only thing from that scene that was in the promo.
Okay, well, like, I saw screen caps of that somehow, and I don't know if they were cropped in a way where you couldn't see Sheldon, or if I just was ignoring Sheldon because I was focusing on Leonard and Penny. But I
yeah.
was surprised when that scene started, and I was like, oh, Sheldon's in the car with them too.
Yeah.
And at first, I think I was slightly annoyed that he was in the car with them, because, like, obviously, like, he was, you know, kind of, I guess I was worried he was going to be detracting from, like, their goodbyes. Like you said, he really didn't. I wasn't that bothered by him, in the episode with Howard's letter, but I don't know if maybe, like, one difference with this was, like, Leonard and Penny were pretty much doing a really good job of just ignoring him and focusing
yeah.
on each other, whereas I feel like in the letter scene, the other characters, like, couldn't ignore him as much, or there was more, like, of seeing their reactions to him, whereas there wasn't so
yeah.
much of that last night.
Yeah, they just kind of glanced at him or yelled at him. But I just loved their goodbye. I thought it was really sweet. It was really mature. And we finally got them both saying I love you in the same scene.
Yes. And
which
I love how Penny says it. Like, this morning when I finally pulled up the episode again, I was just, like, rewatching that, like, over and over, just Penny saying that, because how she, like, I love how she kind of, like, almost whispers it.
Yeah, like, I'm the, oh my gosh, that made me so happy.
But, yeah, that just, that kind of, that might be, like, my favorite moment from the episode, just how she said that and how she's looking at him. Excuse our fangirling for the moment, but yes, that was beautiful.
Yeah, I've done the same thing as you, just watched her saying it. Like, I already know, like, if I pull up the episode, like, on Media Player, like, where exactly to click to get to that point. It's 17 minutes and 15 seconds in, and I rewatched it so many times, and I had, like, there was a GIF on Tumblr, and I had the GIF open, like, on my phone, and it was just playing her saying that. And I was at work, and, like, whenever I would check the time, like, I would press the button on my phone to see the time, and I would get to see that GIF, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I really loved how she said it, and I really liked his reaction to her saying it, like, his face before he said, I love you, too. Because, like, it shows that, like, even though, like, they do say that to each other now, like, he has not forgotten how much that means coming from her. So, it's like, you know, it's still, like, It's still like a big deal to him, which I really like, because you shouldn't throw that word around even when you're in a relationship.
And, you know, Penny, I'm pretty certain that every time she says it, like, she's really in a place where she means it.
Yeah.
And then I really liked when he gave her that locket, how, like, in the next two scenes she was wearing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me of how, like, it had been pointed out that Bernadette, you know, was wearing... She might still be doing it. It was just mainly at the beginning of the season we were noticing how when Howard came back from space, she started wearing the star necklace he got her. And, you know, no mention was made of it, but she was doing it. And then with, you know, this in the last two scenes... Penny was wearing her necklace. So it's just really nice, subtle prop stuff that make me way too happy.
Yeah, like, I don't think I fully realized that Bernadette has been wearing the star necklace all this season until it was pointed out on fan forum.
Yeah.
But then, like, so last night during the finale, I, like, was definitely like, oh yeah, Bernadette is wearing the necklace. I actually didn't notice that Penny was wearing the locket in the final scene until after it was pointed out. But, yeah, I really love that she was wearing it. And then I was kind of wondering, like, okay, now this can be a thing, like, next season, like, look for is Penny wearing the locket. Like, I don't expect her to wear it, like, every day, like, or all the time, like Bernadette is with the star. But it will be nice to hopefully be seeing it pop up now and again.
Yeah, though I don't think she's as likely to do that as Bernadette with the star because, like, I don't know too many people who wear a locket with their boyfriend's face in it, like, when he's around all the time. So, if she does, we might be a little like, wow, who's more invested in the relationship now, Penny? But, I definitely expect that she'll be wearing it pretty much nonstop while he's gone. And the only reason that I noticed it was because it was so recently that, like, I was reminded about Bernadette wearing the star. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I'm like, oh, he got her something to wear. Like, as soon as she went to Raj's, I was like, okay, I know this is the scene where Raj talks to her, but is she wearing the necklace? I asked the big questions. and then once I realized she was, I was like, all right, now time to fully enjoy what, you know, I was pretty positive was going to be, you know, pretty much was going to be that scene.
Yeah. I was pretty amused, when Sheldon said how it just had, like, a picture of Leonard's face inside, because I feel like the more, like, obvious choice or, like, more people would, like, put a picture of, like, both of them together inside or him and her, like, on each side or, like, I was just amused that it was just him on the inside of the locket.
I wonder if he picked an existing picture or if he took one.
I didn't think about that. I don't know.
Like, that thought's just amusing me now. Like, was just like, alright, pose for the picture for Penny's locket.
You know, he would have taken, like, dozens of pictures before he was finally happy with one.
It would have been, like, in the ornithophobia one where him and Sheldon were having a discussion on whether he was overdressed. It would have been, like, a similar thing for his picture. And then they would have been like, well, it's just my face anyway, so. Yeah, so Penny and Raj made me really happy. Penny and Leonard made me really happy. Finale made me really happy. The season made me really happy. I think I agree with Johnny. I think this is my favorite season. But then when I say that, I think, oh, but season one. But I think it probably was overall.
I don't know where I would rank it yet with all of the others. I would need to really sit down and look at the episodes. Because I really haven't done very much rewatching this season. After the episodes have aired... so I feel like it all kind of is run together. I don't know how I would rank it. It was definitely a really strong, good season overall, though. I really loved it.
Yeah, it was. I haven't done too much rewatching either, aside from specific scenes or specific lines or specific facial expressions or specific, you know, wailing on your boyfriend because Sheldon might sleep with Amy. But, that's mainly because of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was in, like, the first three seasons, or the first four seasons, I was in high school, so I had so much more time to rewatch all the time, but I don't really have that as much anymore. But there were some weaker episodes, but I don't really remember there being one where I was like, okay, every season has a weak episode, this was the weak episode.
Yeah,
which I'm sure if I went through, I'm sure I could pick a least favorite, but, like, I think, okay, Plimpton, okay, you know, Speckerman. Like, I can't just pull one out of my head for season six.
Yeah, same. Like, just thinking back right now, there's not one that really stands out as a bad episode for the season. Off the top of my head, at least.
Yeah. But I can't pick a worse one for season one either, so...
Well, I have my least favorite in season one, but we've talked about that.
Okay, you need to rewatch it, because when I was discussing it and naming all the lines, you said you'd forgotten how much good stuff was in that one.
But it's still, I don't know, I just, like, it still just pops into my mind as the least favorite.
Okay, well, we only got through episode 6 on our marathon, so we need to start that up again. I have Monday off, we can do it then. And you have to watch that one again and remember all the brilliance, because it was amazing, and I'm not going to let this go.
Okay.
All right.
Back to season 6 for a moment. I actually just updated the poll on our website, thebigbangbuzz.com. Asking you, how would you rate season 6 as a whole? And you can give it 5 stars all the way down to just one little lonely star. And I just updated that this evening, and we don't have any votes there yet. So come vote.
Yes, you do.
I'm still not seeing one.
I voted 5 stars right now.
Okay, let me refresh the page. But come vote and tell us what you thought about the season. And yeah, and as for now, going into the hiatus, we still haven't really talked too much in depth about what our plans are, but we're definitely, I think I can pretty safely say, we'll go through the rest of the seasons like we did for season one, and we can pick our favorites from those episodes, favorite episodes from those seasons, and then episodes for the different characters. And then, yeah, we got a few comments on the last week's podcast, just kind of about, related to that, things for us to discuss favorite-wise. But if you've got any more suggestions or topics, like we said, either post comments on the website, or you can email podcast@thebigbangbuzz.com, or tweet us at thebigbangbuzz with 3 Z's. And, like, we'll be tweeting, we kind of use a Twitter also, like, if we're gonna record, or if we have questions, like, looking for feedback or things, reactions that we can mention in the show, so definitely follow us on Twitter for just other random updates like that. Any last comments on the finale?
No, though on recording in the summer, you know, we do have 7 characters to talk about. We have, you know, 5 seasons as a whole we haven't talked about, even though we might not do a season 6, but that'll at least, I think, get us to Comic-Con, and at that point we'll have more news to discuss. So yeah. We shouldn't be too lackluster in what we're discussing. And so, we could do like a guest star episode, we could do like a, I don't know, we can think of other stuff, but I think we'll have plenty of stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
And then we'll have a year to discuss what we're going to talk about next summer when we've already discussed all the characters in the seasons.
Yeah, we'll face next summer when it comes.
Yeah.
So, that wraps up our episode now then for the finale, and that is a wrap on season 6. But we'll talk to you next week. About something else about the Big Bang Theory. Tune in and we'll find out what that'll be for next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.